The Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leaders of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on a Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from a manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I invite the children to come up. Hi there. How's it going?
Good
so far?
Okay,
super. Well, I want to tell you a story. It's about a little girl in Russia. She had heard about this magnificent palace, and she found out that if a child could get a key to that palace, every room in that palace was filled with toys or sweets or all kinds of wonderful things that they could play with all they wanted to. Well, every child in that town wanted a key, right? One little girl went up to the doorman and said, "Sir, I'd like to have a key." And he said, "Well, the key is only for those who do something for somebody else." Well, she was happy about that. She went out and she found somebody who was a poor beggar. He didn't have any food. And so she helped him and gave him some food. And then she ran back and she said, "I helped a beggar so that I could get a key." And he said, "That won't work. You have to do something for somebody else." Well, she didn't know what to do. She went and looked around town, and she found somebody who was really, really poor and couldn't make it across the street by herself, so she helped her across the street, and she went to the doorman and said, "I'd like a key to the palace, because I helped this woman get across the street so that I could get a key." And he said, "No, that won't do it. You have to do something for somebody else." Oh, my goodness, see? She didn't know what to do. So she went looking for somebody else she could help. And she found some people who didn't have any food. So she ran around and she found food for them and gave it to them and then came back for a key. But it wasn't enough. She had to do something for somebody else. Well, she was really upset and she decided to go home. She didn't have any idea how she could find anybody else to help. And she heard some crying in the trees. And when she went to look, it was a little dog that was caught in a trap. And it was a strong trap. And she forced the trap apart. And finally, she cut her fingers on the trap, even getting it apart. And when she finally got it apart and got the puppy free, she picked it up in her arms and carried it home. And on her way home, The doorman came and said, "Here, this key is for you." And she said, "Oh no, I wasn't doing something for somebody. I was just helping this puppy." And he said, "That was the whole idea. You were to help somebody besides yourself. You were doing all of the other things to help yourself, not to help them." So what do you think Jesus would want us to do? Help other people, right? Not so we could get into heaven, because he's already made that certain for us, but so that other people would be helped, just because we like to help other people. That makes sense? Yeah. Let's thank Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for helping us to help others. Help us to see in all that we do that your hand of love is with us and working through us. Amen. All right, you can have a seat. When I was serving the church in Springfield, Missouri, not far from where we lived, there was Crystal Cavern. It was a new cavern. You know, there are lots of caves in that area, just like there are here. There are some that you can even drive through. And there are some, well, and there's one down by Carlsbad, where we live now, that where you can take an elevator down to the lowest level, so it isn't so strenuous. So there are all these nice fancy ones. Well, this was a fairly new cavern. A family owned the farm on which the cavern was located, and they had started this business of showing people into the cavern, because there were some beautiful stalactites and stalagmites, and in some places there were some fantastic crystals, some of which I have never seen before. And when we went, the granddaughter of the man who owned the farm and the cavern gave us a tour. And she said, we're developing all of these different paths through the cavern, and it's in some places it's kind of dangerous. So we have a rule. Grandpa set a rule that said, nobody can work down here alone. And she said, with a smile, "Grandpa broke his own rule. He came down here and was working by himself because his son was supposed to be there but couldn't be there. And so he was working down there and he saw this hole in one of the walls. And when he went over to it, he flashed his light in there and he thought, wow, that is beautiful. Some beautiful crystals in there. She showed us the hole. It was about that big. And he thought, I'll just slip in there and then I can get a better look. Well, guess what? He got stuck. He couldn't go forward. He couldn't go back. He stuck there. And he was stuck there for 3 or 4 hours before the family gathered for supper and found out Grandpa wasn't around. So they had to go searching the cavern to find him. And of course, he was a little embarrassed by that. But the squeeze was too tight. And I thought about that when I was thinking of an article about Barbara Mandrell. Remember, she had a major accident, and the only thing that saved her was a seatbelt. She said the seatbelt saved her and her passenger and squeezed them into a relatively safe location, because everything else was destroyed. They still had to take her out with the jaws of life, but she credited her life with the seatbelt and encouraged people to wear them. The people Isaiah is writing to have been in a very tight squeeze themselves. Some of you may remember, no, you won't remember, 587 BC. You weren't around yet. But in 587 BC, Babylon came down. Nebuchadnezzar brought Babylon to conquer Jerusalem, Jerusalem, and thereby Judah, the southern kingdom, carried many of the people off into exile. Now, they didn't have an air-conditioned motorized boat, a boat or, there wasn't water around, They didn't have a bus that they could go back on. They had to walk the entire way, which is over 1,000 miles. Can you imagine walking 1,000 miles? To me, one of the incredible parts of that story is that most of the books of the Old Testament arrived in Babylon, where they were edited and worked on. That when you think about the fact that the people who were exiled could only take what they could carry. Now, those scrolls were heavy, and they had to carry them 1,000 miles, which meant, I don't know about you, but think about what you would take. That's a tight squeeze. How do you get everything that you really think is valuable into a package that you can carry? But to them, the scriptures, or some of them, the scriptures were that important. And that meant that much to them. Isaiah writes that he's reminded them in the past, and he reminds them again, that they got where they are in Babylon because of their sin. That they had forgotten the Sabbath as an important part of their lives. And he said, if you return and return to remembering that the Sabbath is a holy day, God will restore your treasures and will restore you to a new life. Isaiah wasn't the only one who warned people about this. And we read the book of Hebrews, we find out that these people are under a tight squeeze of persecution. This is an era of time when there are emperors who are wanting people to bow down and worship them. We have Nero and Caligula and Domitian and a number of others. That's the important thing for them, that everybody bow down and worship them. And those who didn't received incredible tortures and pain. Burned at the stake as living torches for Nero, I believe it was. Sawn in half, skinned alive. You name the horror, and they had to experience that. And yet, they held on to their faith. And at this very time, when you would think everybody would give up, and say, well, yeah, we'll just go through the motion of bowing down. These were people who held on to their faith and for whom their faith meant more than anything else. But sometimes we take even our religion too far. Jesus points that out to the scribes and Pharisees and those who are attacking him. Can you imagine being bent over so far that you can't look up? For 18 years, this woman has nothing to look forward to because she can't look forward. And Jesus brings healing to her on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a precious, holy day. Most of us have lost track of how important Sabbath is. In fact, I told one group this past week, that in any congregation I've ever been in, and every congregation I've ever heard of, even the big box churches, two-thirds of the congregation is missing on a Sunday morning. Well, look around. Is that about right? We have about a third of our worshipers here. The message of Isaiah, the message of the Hebrews, the message of Jesus is clear. The Sabbath is a holy day that we should pay attention to. But remember what it's here for. It's here so that we can worship the Lord our God and receive His blessings in return. That we can lock ourselves in the box, as I said last week, and try to pretend that Jesus is kept here. But remember what it says at the doorway, that we go out to serve. We don't stay. In other words, as we leave, share the good news is what we are called upon to do. And that's part of what being a part of the Sabbath is. Unfortunately, many people wait too long. You ever notice that? We wait until maybe a deathbed confession or a deathbed something or other before we take seriously what it means to be God's people in the world. I remember visiting a family in Nebraska. They owned a business where they sold shoes and boots and leather goods. And they told me that they wouldn't be in church very often because they had to go out on weekends with their big trailer and all their goods to sell at rodeos and at any opportunity they had. And they would support the church in any other way. And then I got a call from the hospital in Omaha. It's about a 3-hour drive, asking me to come because she had had a stroke. And when I got there, she couldn't even communicate. And the next day she died. And when I went to visit her husband at home, he was full of grief, not just because he had lost his wife, but he said, "You know, for several years, we were planning to retire. And we really wanted to travel. We wanted to do things that we'd always talked about. And we just kept putting it off and putting it off. And now, it's too late. We've lost it." Think about your relationship with your Lord. Are you waiting for some inspiration to inspire you, to get you going again? Or are you ready to say, "Lord, here I am. Receive me and I receive you"? Because Jesus does say that. He says, "Come, all who are weary, and I will give you rest." St. Paul went through some difficult times and some difficult stresses also. And as he said, we are put down, but we are not crushed. We are persecuted, but we are not in despair. No matter what happens, Paul knew that he had a Lord who would watch over him wherever he went. Can we trust in that Lord to lead us all the way home? May we grasp on to him and know that at all times and in all places, he's with us. Because today, he says, "This is my body. This is my blood. Come, receive me, and I'll be with you always." Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.